Thank you for coming this evening. I'm honored to be your teacher again. I pray that we may open our Bibles and hearts as we study together from the Word of God. Does anyone need a class book before we begin? Raise your hand. One back here. Anyone else? Tonight, lesson 9, page 19, Brotherly Love. Lesson 9, page 19, Brotherly Love. Every congregation, to varying degrees, struggles to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. From personality differences to ongoing tensions to wholesale division, generally there is little positive improvement. The truth is that we have never learned to get along. We have never learned to deal with problems that tend to divide, including doctrinal, personal, and social problems. We teach the need to love one another, but in stressful circumstances, the teaching of Jesus Christ has little effect upon our actions and attitudes. Therefore, in response to doctrinal, personal, and social problems, there is an immediate chain reaction. First, to react emotionally in self-defense. Second, to question the motives of others. Third, to refuse friendly greetings. Fourth, to talk about the problem in order to win support or to seek approval. And fifth, to divide. The Band-Aid approach is not the answer. We must learn to apply the teachings of Jesus Christ in these problem areas. We must learn to develop the fruit of brotherly love and love itself, the greatest of all. And so tonight, let us study the qualities of brotherly love and love itself and make the application to our own lives as Christians and to our local congregations. Brotherly love involves friendship and warm feelings for one another. Friendship love is the natural love between human beings. Its source is the common bond and interest of people as people. It is sharing concern for one another because we are part of the human race. Spiritual love, in contrast, which we will study in Lesson 10, is deliberately applied even though its object is undeserving. Someone said it is the ability to love the unlovable. Therefore, spiritual love is intellectual, not emotional. Its source is primarily the example and teachings of God, and we will discuss that in more detail in the second half of our class tonight. Sometimes we are unbalanced in applying these types of love. On the one hand, we may assume that love is complete or perfect when we show warm feelings for one another. And on the other hand, we may also assume that love is complete when we teach someone their duty. Both are involved in love, but we must maintain a balance. Even when we teach someone their duty, we must show warm feelings. However, warm feelings are insufficient unless we also teach someone their duty. And so we need to maintain a balance in how we apply the qualities of brotherly love and spiritual love. Obviously, our application needs to improve. And so tonight, I want to define brotherly love and show us how we can apply it to our lives. The objects of brotherly love, at least proper objects of brotherly love, include parents, friends, our own, that is, those who share a similar outlook on life, Improper objects of brotherly love include personal acclaim, strife, human wisdom, self, money, and pleasure, the world, preeminence, and even a lie. Therefore, we must put off and put on to mature in brotherly love. Last night we discussed five principles of spiritual growth as we put on the quality of godliness. And one of the five principles was put off and put on. Sometimes we have a negative concept of holiness. I haven't done anything wrong. The real question is, what are you doing right? And so if we only put off certain things and neglect putting on others, we're a half-dressed Christian. Figuratively, we're not fully clothed in Jesus Christ. And so I hope that we can see the need to put off certain things and put on others as we mature in brotherly love. We should make a special effort to show friendship love, which is basic love and courtesy toward other human beings, including our brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. And that is primarily our focus this evening. The greatest manifestation of friendship love is hospitality, which literally means love for strangers. Love for strangers. Turn to Romans chapter 12, verses 10 through 13. Romans chapter 12, verses 10 through 13. Paul instructs these Christians to behave like Christians. And various exhortations include, beginning in verse 10, be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor giving preference to one another, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. Note in verse 10, be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. That is our subject this evening. And in addition, in honor, giving preference to one another. And in a few moments, we will define what that means. But also note in verse 13, given to hospitality. And the marginal reading in my Bible is pursuing hospitality. That is, look for opportunities to show hospitality, especially to our brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. However, to extend hospitality only to our closest friends in the congregation or family members does not fulfill the teachings of Jesus Christ. The true test of hospitality is showing concern for strangers. Showing concern for strangers. Turn to Matthew chapter 5, verses 46 and 47. Matthew chapter 5, verses 46 and 47. In the context of teaching citizens of the kingdom to love your enemies, Jesus says, for if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet your brethren only, what do you do more than others? Do not even the tax collectors do so? In other words, the new righteousness, that is a higher righteousness, involves going above and beyond the call of duty, so to speak. And the point is, you show love toward strangers. If you do not, you are no better than the scribes, Pharisees, and hypocrites. There may be some people in this congregation that you do not know personally. You may know their names or you may know their faces, yet you have not cultivated friendship love for one another. I am suggesting this evening that in order to cultivate friendship love for one another, we need to show hospitality. And not just to toward our closest friends in the congregation, and not just toward our family members, but even to strangers. That is the true test. Remember, I said last night that the true test of faith is what we do when we leave the church building. That is faith at work. And so the true test of friendship love is extending hospitality or demonstrating other acts of kindness toward those who are strangers. And also note this statement toward the end of the second paragraph: it must be shown without partiality, without regard to race, socioeconomic background, etc. God is impartial, and as a child of the King, I must also show the same impartiality, especially in regard to brotherly love. Therefore, we must put off sinful attitudes and reactions to congregational problems and work to strengthen our fellowship with one another through friendship love. And I think that introduces the subject this evening. Brotherly love also involves warm feelings for one another. Friendship love involves warm feelings as a result of our devotion to one another. Last night we discussed our devotion to God. This quality involves our devotion to one another. Again, Romans 12, verses 10 through 13, I mentioned a moment ago, giving preference to one another. Giving preference to one another. That does not mean that we favor a Christian over someone who is not, although that would be natural because of our unique relationship with one another in Jesus Christ. Instead, it means that we defer to another Christian in matters of judgment, opinion, etc., because of our devotion to one another. We must put off sinful attitudes such as anger, selfishness, pride, inflated egos, etc., in order to fulfill the teachings of Jesus Christ. Turn to Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 through 4. Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 through 4. Paul teaches that humility aids in unity. We must be humble in our relationship to God, and we must be humble in our relationship to one another. Philippians 2, beginning in verse 3, reads, "Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others." Someone said that true love is when the interests of someone else are more important than your own. And that touches upon what we will say in the second half of our class tonight. But even with brotherly love, there is no room for selfishness, pride, anger, inflated egos, etc. We must be humble. It is because of our devotion to one another. This aspect of friendship love is similar to spiritual love. In fact, friendship love is the wellspring of spiritual love as we are truly converted to Jesus Christ. If we understand and practice brotherly love, then we should be able to understand and practice spiritual love. That is the point. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 22 through 25. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 22 through 25. In the context of discussing the enduring word, the seed is eternal, it produces fruit unto the glory of God, Peter writes, "Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth," the word or the seed is the truth, "through the Spirit, in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart, having been born again not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the word of God which lives and abides forever, because all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of the grass. The grass withers and its flower fails away, but the word of the Lord endures forever. Now this is the word which by the gospel was preached to you, that is the enduring word. But note in verse 22, since you have purified your souls, cleansing through obedience to the truth, the word or the seed is the truth through the Spirit, in sincere love of the brethren, that is brotherly love or friendship love. And then the exhortation, love one another fervently with a pure heart, that is spiritual love. And we'll talk about that aspect of love in just a few moments. But if we understand and apply friendship love, then we should be able to understand and apply spiritual love. It is the wellspring of spiritual love. However, if we fail to develop friendship love, or any other quality for that matter, we reveal the true condition of our heart. We are blind and have forgotten that we have been forgiven. Remember Sunday morning? Two reasons for spiritual failure: spiritual short-sightedness or spiritual myopia, and spiritual forgetfulness or spiritual amnesia. We are too short-sighted to see the consequences of not growing in grace and knowledge. Or we have forgotten that we have been forgiven. Conversion is only the beginning. The rest is transformation. Conversion and then transformation. And so we must be transformed in regard to this quality. And if we fail to develop this quality, then we have failed because of one or both of the reasons I just mentioned. Unfortunately, new converts have difficulty learning to apply friendship love because of sinful attitudes and conduct from some who have had opportunities and time to grow in this grace. And that is very unfortunate. So if we do not continue to show friendship love, even when we are standing for the truth, then we can become self-righteous and prevent others from seeing true righteousness. Standing for the truth is no excuse for a lack of warm feelings for one another. We have a duty to teach the truth, but we also have a duty to show brotherly love. And sometimes brothers and sisters display poor attitudes, even when they are right, and that is no justification. It is imperative that we love one another in this way. And I see no exception to that fact. Okay, we will discuss the questions at the end of the class. Turn to lesson 10. Love, or spiritual love, the greatest of all. Which of these statements best describes your love? Think about these. I love others unconditionally and absolutely. I love others only when I get what I want. I love others only when they love me first. I love others only when there is something in it for me. Or I never love others. I suppose that most of us fall in between. And so the need to change is obvious. The source of spiritual love is God Himself. Spiritual love is not a natural love based upon a common human experience, as is brotherly love or friendship love. Instead, spiritual love is an intellectual love crossing the barriers of hatred and retaliation based upon the example and teachings of God. And note, it is intellectual. Our emotional response may be to get even or wish someone dead. However, spiritual love crosses the barriers of hatred and retaliation based upon and because of the example and teachings of God Himself. Turn to Matthew chapter 5, verses 43 through 48. Matthew chapter 5, verses 43 through 48. Jesus said, "You have heard that it was said, 'You shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy.' But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. For He makes His sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet your brethren only, what do you do more than others? Do not even the tax collectors do so? Therefore, you shall be perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect." Again, perfect means mature. Mature in love as God is, based upon the teachings and example of God Himself. And so our natural response may be to get even or to wish someone dead, but Jesus says, love your enemies. Love your enemies. You may think at times that your brother in Christ is your worst enemy. And some brothers and sisters make it very hard to show spiritual love. And that is why I said it is intellectual rather than emotional. Emotionally, you may respond in a different way, but intellectually, you know, based upon the example and teachings of God Himself, that you must show love unconditionally and absolutely. And that is not always easy. In fact, God Himself is the essence of spiritual love. He loved us before we ever loved Him. And that becomes the motivation. Think about how rebellious you have been in your relationship to God. And yet He still loves you. He loved you enough to send His Son to die for you. And how many times someone has done something to irritate us and we respond harshly and swiftly. What if God responded harshly and swiftly every time we rebelled against Him? I am saying tonight that because God is the source of spiritual love and because of His example and teachings, we must love one another. Period. God Himself is also the source of spiritual love, and we can produce this fruit as we walk in the Spirit, that is to walk in the teachings of the Spirit in the Word. The nature of love. The love of God manifested in Jesus Christ is the active, selfless goodwill of spiritual love. That is the supreme example. It motivates us to express genuine concern for others in spite of their actions or attitudes. And that is very challenging. Therefore, it is based upon our convictions. Remember last night? A belief is something you hold. A conviction is something that holds you. If you have deep convictions about the love of God demonstrated in His Son, Jesus Christ, your natural response will be very different. Therefore, it is based upon our convictions about the Word of God and is a deliberate choice. It is intellectual. Remember what we said the other evening in regard to the quality of perseverance. When someone provokes us to anger by defying our authority as a parent, a teacher, a supervisor, etc. We are in control of the situation. We control how we respond. The ball is in our court, so to speak. And so if we respond in a negative way, if we respond in an unchristian-like way, then we have lost control and we have failed in that particular area. And so it is a deliberate choice. Although our natural response may be very different, I hope you think about that sentence. Indeed, the greatest of all is spiritual love as we learn and demonstrate it daily in our own actions and attitudes. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 through 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 through 7. First Corinthians chapter 13 may be the best known chapter in the whole Bible. Listen to a description of spiritual love in verses 4 through 7. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Rather than analyzing verses 4 through 7, I have several statements based upon this passage. Listen to these statements. They exemplify the characteristics of spiritual love. I am patient with you because I love you and want to forgive you. I am kind to you because I love you and want to help you. I do not envy your possessions or your gifts because I love you and want you to have the best. I do not boast about my attainments because I love you and want to hear about yours. I am not proud because I love you and want to esteem you before myself. I am not rude because I love you and care about your feelings. I am not self-seeking because I love you and want to meet your needs. I am not easily angered by you because I love you and I want to overlook your offenses. I do not keep a record of your wrongs because I love you, and love covers a multitude of sins. Slightly different way to look at it, but I think those statements exemplify the characteristics of love described in verses 4 through 7. Now, before we move on, I want to make this point in verse 6. Love does not mean that we overlook or tolerate sin. There are many gospel preachers saying that today, and that is not true for a number of reasons. But especially because verse 6 says, love does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. If I am living in sin, or if I am teaching a false doctrine, you confront me as my brother or sister because you love me. If you do not, then you do not love me. And I think that's exactly the point that Paul is making here in this particular verse. And we need to keep that in mind, because our love is out of balance. We think that because we show warm feelings, we have fulfilled the teachings of Jesus Christ, and that's not true. Because the other side is, we must also teach someone their duty. And we have to maintain a proper balance. And so we have to keep that in mind. But the nature of love itself is described here in verses 4 through 7. And that's why I said love is the greatest of all. It is so difficult to apply because of our inclination to seek personal revenge. And yet it is so beautiful when we see it in action. And I believe that is true. Our deliberate choice to love one another is derived from the sacrificial love of Jesus Christ. Turn to 1 John chapter 4, verses 10 through 11. 1 John chapter 4, verses 10 through 11. In the context of teaching how we know God through the exercise of love, John writes, "And this is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another." Remember, I said a moment ago when I read some statements that best describe our love, one of the statements was, "I love others only when they love me first." But 1 John chapter 4 and verse 10 says that the greatest manifestation of love is showing love when you do not expect someone else to show it in return. Why? Because that is the love that God demonstrated toward us in His Son. And so our deliberate choice to love one another is derived from the sacrificial love of Jesus Christ. His love for us is incomplete unless we show evidence of this love for one another. His love should produce similar fruit among us. It will also produce the fruit of godliness and virtue and self-control, etc. The example of Jesus Christ reveals the truth about our own actions and attitudes. Think about that. Do not measure yourself by the average church member. I've been trying to figure out what the average church member looks like. What does he do? What does he wear? Where does he go? There's no such thing as an average Christian. What we do is we add up all the Christians in the congregation and take the average and compare ourselves to the average or to the norm, and we say, "I'm doing okay," or "I'm as strong as he is," or "I visit the sick as much as she does," or "I teach as much as he does," and we compare ourselves to the norm or to the average. There's no such thing. When every one of us was made, the mold was broken. Each one is unique and special. Therefore, there is no such thing as an average Christian or an average church member. Instead, our standard of measurement is Jesus Christ and His Word. When you stand beside Jesus Christ and compare your love for others, do you pass the test? Remember Sunday morning? Resources, motivation, examination. We must take the test. If we do not, how do we know how strong our faith really is? We must take the test. And so in regard to our love, we must measure ourselves according to the example of Jesus Christ. Maybe you have seen the bracelets and the necklaces, WWJD, what would Jesus do? What would Jesus desire? What would Jesus want you to do? What would Jesus desire for you to do? You see? But we often fail to apply spiritual love, although we know the will of God. Remember last night? We must put it into practice. We may know the truth about spiritual love. Do we apply it? 1 Peter 1, verse 22, we read earlier, to love one another with a pure heart fervently, indicates the degree and quality of spiritual love. The degree of love fervently, not half-heartedly, fervently. And the quality of spiritual love, purity. It comes from a pure heart. And so the degree and quality of spiritual love that we must show for one another. Shaking hands one or two times per week is not spiritual love. It is intellectual. It involves action. Just as faith without works is dead, love without works is dead also. And we do not fulfill the teachings of Jesus Christ simply by shaking hands with one another. We must be ready and willing to do, to forgive, to help, to share, to teach, etc., in both actions and attitudes. If not, then we have failed to develop the quality of spiritual love. Spiritual love is not static. It is not stagnant. We must continue to grow in this grace. And as I have emphasized every night this week, we either grow or die as Christians. It is either uphill or downhill. There is no in between. Be honest with yourself. Are you growing in this grace? If not, why not? Do you have a plan to grow in this grace? If not, why not? Be honest. It is not an alternative. And then the last paragraph relates to what I said in the introduction about congregational problems. Spiritual love also has a unifying force. Turn to Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Both attitudes and actions are involved. Note in verse 1, our walk should be worthy of our calling. Last night we said that our walk must measure up to our talk. Well, tonight, our walk must measure up to our calling. We must walk worthy of the calling. We have been called by God through Jesus Christ in the gospel. We have been called out of darkness into light. We have been called out of the power of darkness into the kingdom of His dear Son. In other words, we need to behave like Christians. And as we begin to cultivate the qualities of lowliness, gentleness, long-suffering, forbearance, and love, it will have a unifying force among us. Think about this. A pulling mule cannot kick, and a kicking mule cannot pull. Isn't that true? If we are demonstrating proper spiritual love for one another, then we can accomplish anything the Lord wants us to do. But when it is my way or the highway, we will not grow as Christians or as congregations. It's that simple. The highway is the Lord's way. And we need to be walking down that highway. But involved in this is love, spiritual love for one another. Christians who understand the source and nature of spiritual love strive to develop and demonstrate these qualities. To develop and demonstrate, especially in resolving congregational problems. Spiritual love results in oneness rather than ongoing tensions or even wholesale division. And I believe the last statement with all my heart, generally speaking, the need for significant improvement is obvious. It is obvious. But I emphasize again that warm feelings alone is not the answer. We also have to want to know the truth. We have to be unified in our desire to know the truth and stand on the truth, to practice the truth, etc. And then as we supplement that with these qualities, including spiritual love, it will unify us. We will become one. And as one, there is nothing we cannot do if the Lord wills. And so 1 John chapter 3 and verse 18, my little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. I have another application that is not included in the book. Primarily, we have talked about spiritual love toward one another as brothers and sisters in Christ. We must also show spiritual love toward those who are lost in sin, especially in regard to evangelism. Think about this. Sometimes we say, he sure would be a good Christian, or he would never be interested in hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ. Whoever gave me the right to decide for someone else whether or not they will be a good candidate to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ? No one. God has instructed us to sow the seed and to water. He will give the increase. We think that because someone drives a nice car, lives in a nice neighborhood, that he'll be more receptive to the gospel. What about the town drunk? Or someone who has a reputation for being an immoral person. If anyone needs the gospel, it's that person. But it is not our natural inclination to go to someone like that. It is brotherly love that leads us to them. And it is spiritual love that teaches them the gospel. You see, our natural response is, no way, hands off. No way he'd be interested. But spiritual love results in a very different reaction, very different response. And I think there's something there worth thinking about. All of us need to think about it very seriously. Okay, let's go back to lesson 9 on page 20 and answer the questions. What is friendship love? Define in your own words. What is friendship love? Pardon me? Loving strangers? Love for another purpose, another person. It is love for other people because they are part of the human family. It is the natural bond that we share with one another. Okay. Not showing partiality toward anyone. Not on the basis of race, socioeconomic background, etc. It is impartial. In what ways can our love be unbalanced? In what ways can our love be unbalanced? Okay, to love those who love us. Sometimes we expect someone to love us first before we show love.
Love those who can do something for us.
Okay, love those who can do something for us. What can I get out of this? But as we learned this evening in both lessons 9 and 10, that friendship love and spiritual love do not expect anything in return. And it is not based upon receiving love in order to show love. See. Anything else? Right. Showing partiality. Right. And we may be more inclined to show love toward some instead of others. But love must be impartial. Okay, that's very good. We may think that we love someone too much to show them their mistakes. We all need someone who can point out our mistakes. And we need to be receptive to that. And spiritual love or friendship love will not be rude in doing that. But at the same time, we need to be receptive to it and be honest about it and take it to heart and make some changes. Very good point. Anyone else?